episodes of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
We are Dave and Giggles.
And we are on Radio Free Brooklyn. What up, buddy?
How you doing, bud?
Not bad. What are you doing?
Just getting settled.
Yeah, just settling in.
Good.
You look
it's
really
fall.
Good.
You look very fall today.
I feel very fall. And I don't know if you can notice, I've started growing a fall beard.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's really bad. I think I should cut it off.
There's this one news anchor on local Denver. I forget his name. Oh my God, he's growing a beard. I think he's getting ready for Movember. That's what I think it's for.
You think that's what
he's
it is?
He's growing this facial hair, and it looks terrible.
Yeah,
he just looks like a bum.
I know, and that's how I feel. And I'm like, I should try it, but I know I look like a bum because like they just come in like it doesn't come in straight. It doesn't come in nice. I got patches like all over the place.
Yeah,
but you know, as a man, I feel like you owe yourself the duty to try it. You know, I feel like you grow a decent beard.
I went through my beard phase last year, which was a terrible mistake because at times I thought it looked good, and then sometimes I'd look at myself and I'm like, God, I look like a bum.
A hobo.
Like a hobo.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I just very
envious. It wasn't full. I don't know if it was because of my acne as a kid or what, but it just wasn't a full beard.
I am very envious of people who can grow really good beards. You know, like they just look good. They look something, and they can grow them really in a short time. Like me, it would take all winter to grow a real beard. And by the end of it, I would look like a homeless person. Ugh, so rough. Yeah. But we are Dave and Giggles. If you want to give us a call, 718-928-9732. That's 718-928-9732. We'll be here with you for the next hour. And maybe we'll get, I'm trying to line up your niece to call in.
Oh, she should. She's, you know.
Is she with you? I saw she was with the little one.
She's upstairs. She's out there on the phone doing something. I don't know what she's doing. Get that away from the microphone. That's causing a ton of feedback.
I'm just texting her.
Do I need my mom to call in?
Yeah, probably.
Do we need a call? 718-928-9732. We're going to be talking about Halloween. And we got to talk about Rob Rokicki's show coming up at I don't know where it is. But he's doing monster songs. Did you see this on Facebook?
No. Tell me about it.
So we have a good buddy, Rob Rokicki, who's been on the show a couple times. And he's a composer and a musician. And he did The Lightning Thief. Remember, you and I went on that date.
I remember.
With Kurt. And we went and saw his show opening night, which is great, you know?
Yeah.
And tickets were a little more than I wanted to pay. But, you know, I said, I'm in New York for this one time. We can see this show. Let's do it.
I was pleasantly surprised because I'm not a big fan of plays in general, theater ensembles, but they did a really good job and I was impressed by Rob. He really pulled it together. The music was the musicians in it were solid, the actors in it were funny, they were good. I would give it a thumbs up from a guy who doesn't really like theater.
So I guess yesterday the Monster Songs album was released, and
what is Monster Songs?
Monster Songs. So Monster Songs is this other this guy's doing tons of musicals. Like, he's one of the most talented guys I know, and he's doing they released the album yesterday. You can buy it on iTunes and Broadway World or one of those Broadway CDs or you know something Broadway some website. World. But it's all about these villainous monsters and stuff like that who are, I guess. I don't know what they're going through, but they're going through something. And a couple years ago, I had the honor of taking photos for it. Of course, I got paid for it because I don't work for free.
Yeah, you don't work for free.
But I took some photos for it. It was great. It was cool. You know, it was like dark. And this guy, Dave O'Neill, did the artwork for it. And it's cool. I should see if you can get Rob to call in.
On
October 30th.
Nice.
I don't know.
Well, right around Halloween.
Somewhere.
Hopefully it's in Manhattan. Yeah,
right. It's perfect for Halloween.
Text him and tell him to call in.
I did. Oh, okay. I texted my Facebook message him.
All right. All right.
So we'll see if he calls in.
That'd be
he
nice.
Can tell us more about it. But that's what we got going on.
Nice. So that's October 30th. It's going to be in Manhattan. So if you're in the Manhattan area, go on. What site should they go on to get the tickets?
I don't know. Just look up Monster Songs.
Just look up Monster Songs.
I didn't have enough.
The one thing that really impresses me about Rob is his stick-to-itiveness of like because of the other show that he did. What was it called again?
The Lightning Thief.
The Lightning Thief, which is based on the Greek gods and all that, and based on that, like the movie that came out and all that stuff. He's able to get the rights to do all these shows, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. To do the Monster Mash, probably he'd had to get rights from a whole bunch of different companies.
Monster Songs. No, he didn't have to get rights from anybody. This is all original. This is not.
Yeah, but aren't they like based on a whole bunch of famous monsters?
Maybe. I don't know.
Jesus. What do you know? And what don't you know?
Nothing. You know, nothing and a lot.
Nothing and a lot. Ah, Jesus. So what's going on? I haven't talked to you all week. You called me a couple times, but I was busy.
It is weird. I've been trying to lay off because usually I call you every day.
I enjoy
sometimes you answer, sometimes you don't.
I enjoy looking at the phone and seeing you call me. Whether I can pick it up or not, I'm like, all right, he's thinking about me. That's good enough, you know?
I'm usually jammed up when I call you, but
I know.
I've been on this health kick lately.
Are you still working out?
Drinking an alcoholic beverage now, but I've been running. Going to the gym.
Very nice.
And, you know, like swimming. And I worked out like 6 days in a row, which is nuts.
That
you
is
know?
Nuts.
I had this feeling in my body when I was like, man, I can't wait to run, you know? And like the first like 6 minutes kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But then after like 10 to 15 minutes, I'm like, man, this feels good. You know, I'm just like running.
That's
a
runner high.
And I look, and of course I look in the mirror after I'm done and nothing's changed.
No,
you know, like I'm trying to get rid of, I got a little pooch in the,
you look like you're a little pregnant. I get it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And I'm trying to get rid of that.
Sure.
My buddy of mine is like, it's all diet. And I'm like, yeah, probably.
You're not going to diet, though. I mean, you working out 6 days a week is an accomplishment, but like, you're going to change your diet? Come on.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. You got two kids. You got to like feed them like constantly. You're eating in the whole time. The whole time they're eating, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're eating. Went to Costco today. Oh, God. It was a nightmare. Costco's a freaking zoo. And but you know what?
I don't know what happened.
Is that you or me?
Yeah, it was me. I pulled it over. There was a plug here. I plugged it in and made it go crazy. Go ahead.
It's nuts. So Costco, you know, I love it and I hate it. But you know what? You know why I love it? It's because you see people from all over the world. Yeah. You know, Aurora is a very diverse area.
Is it?
You know, sometimes we can go to the diverse Costco or we go to the white Costco.
There's
you know?
A white Costco and a diverse Costco. So
well, there's a white Costco that's kind of like in the, you know, sort of the I would say the conservative part of town.
Sure.
You go there. And it's like moms, you know, blonde-haired moms with like five kids.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, God, that's a mess. You
that
know?
Is a mess. That is a mess.
And then you can go to the other Costco, which is a more sort of world market Costco because you got Ethiopians, Somalians, you know, Middle Easterners, Japanese people, Asian people,
What is the connotation of the area of those Costcos? Is that like, is the world Costco a little lesser than like... You know how like when there was like when you were growing up, there was like the good McDonald's that all the kids would go to. Then there was the bad McDonald's that you didn't want to hang out in front of. Yeah. Is that kind of the connotation of this said Costco?
No, it's still a good Costco. It's just it's a more diverse. It's actually on Havana Street, which this area of Aurora is just like chock full of, you know, hundreds of different restaurants of like different nationalities.
That's
and it's
nice.
A very like. Super, super diverse area. It kind of reminds me of the Costco in Long Island City that I'd go to, which, you know, had a ton of people, you know, I mean, just because it was the only Costco in Queens.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that was, that's the thing about New York City. Anywhere you go that is like relatively popular is going to be slammed with people. And now it's getting to the point where, like, I think I mentioned it last year when we went apple picking is just ridiculous anymore. It's like you go there and there's 50,000 other people doing the same thing, taking pictures in front of whatever stupid thing they want you to take pictures in front of. There's a line around the block to get a goddamn old-fashioned donut. And it's just absolutely out of control anymore. Like, we didn't grow up when it was like that. Did you? I guess in Florida,
I went blueberry picking.
Sure.
I
thought blueberries was a northern thing.
North Florida when I was growing up. So those are my sort of picking memories.
Yeah. I just don't understand like when it became, and I was actually having a conversation with John about this. My friend from the north in Maine.
Masetta.
And he was sending me pictures of do you do this? Trunk or treat?
Trunk or treat?
Trunk or treat. So that's what they did this weekend. There was a trunk or treat, which it's not Halloween yet, but they dress all the kids up like it's Halloween. Then they bring them to like some kind of parking lot and everyone opens up their trunk and they have candy in the trunk and they go from trunk to trunk to trunk to trunk and hand out candy. Trunk or treat.
Yeah.
And it's just this. We got a call. That's interesting.
Yeah. I think it's Rob.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
buddy. What's going on?
You know, not much. How you guys doing?
We're hanging in there. So I was just talking to Giggles here about the Monster Songs.
Monster Songs.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that much information about it, so we figured we'd go to the source and figure out what's going on.
Well, I will give you the spiel. Well, first off, thanks for taking my call.
Always, buddy. Always.
Thank you.
First time, long time.
So Monster Songs is a project that I've been working on for many years, about 6 years. You know, I'm a composer and I wanted to write like a rock album, but I wanted to have it to be something that was like multimedia so you could read it like a comic book. So the idea was I would do an album that would have an accompanying graphic novel that would go with it. That all the songs would be illustrated, and it was going to be all about monsters.
I
worked with my buddy Dave O'Neill, who's a children's book illustrator, and I had seen some of his work, and I was just blown away. And he can draw in so many different styles. I'm like, that's it. We'll do each monster in a different style, and I'll write a song kind of like in a different style for whatever monster we're going to do. And And then it kind of took off from there, and it's been kind of a labor of love over many, many long years. But now, yeah, we finally just got it released this week on Broadway Records, which is cool.
That's really cool. So when you get this Monster Songs, it comes with the whole album, but also along with all the art?
Yeah, exclusive to Broadway Records, if you buy it through the digital download, it's called the Deluxe Edition. If you buy the deluxe digital download, you get the entire 120-page graphic novel as a PDF download.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and if you buy it on iTunes or anything like that, we're selling the graphic novel separately on monstersongs.net, so people can have it that way too. We hope that we're going to be able to have a physical copy of the book because it's so beautiful.
Oh, that'd be cool.
The artwork is really awesome.
That's really cool. But so. Yeah, are there any plans to make this into something else? Like, is that the idea? Where to make it into like?
Well, we don't know yet. I think it's always been like a stage show. Part of the fun of it, you know, I write musicals, so like there is like a theatrical element to it. And part of the fun was finding like the best Broadway performers I could find for the voices for all the monsters. And so we're gonna do this big concert a week from today. I'm sorry, a week from tomorrow. That's the 30th at the Cutting Room downtown, which is a really cool venue in New York. And we're gonna put on a stage show, and we're gonna have like projections and things like that, some animatics and stuff like that. So I'm hopeful that it won't be just like a once a year type of show,
right,
but like it could be something that could like be a show.
That'd be really cool. You know. So, like, are you going to the projections? Are they going to be based on a lot of the artwork that was done?
Yep.
Are you going to project all that stuff? Cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
we should really make
this into like a cartoon. Like that. That should be like, let's get that on Cartoon Network. I think that's the right angle on this. If you want to help, I can help on this. I'm an editor, Rob.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, totally. We'll make this happen.
Right.
I'm with you.
All right, let's make this happen, man.
So what's the deal with, like, some of the monsters you have in it, are they, like, known monsters, or are these monsters that you've made up already?
No. These are, like a lot of well-known monsters or monster archetypes. So, like, there's, the opener is, like, a big kind of Rocky Horror, crazy, mad scientist kind of idea. Each song deals with, like, an aspect of love. So, like, that one's parental love because they create a monster baby. And then there's other ones like unrequited love. That's little Igor singing to Dr. Frankenstein about how we'll never get to be with Dr. Frankenstein.
That's really cute. That's really cute.
It's cute. And some songs are genuinely scary. Like the Hell Hath No Fury, the witch's song, is definitely scary, as is the doppelganger song, which is definitely in the vein of like Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska creepy guitar harmonica serial killer. But yeah, and others are very silly and fun. We have The Reluctant Dragon is sung by a kid named Luca Padovan, who's a Broadway kid that was on School of Rock and stuff like that. And really silly. And the comic that goes with it is very silly, but other songs are a little more like serious.
That's really cool. So are all of these monsters based on like the backstory of like, you know, like what brought them there or like where they go from
there.
That's really fun. So did you have to get any kind of like permission to use these things? Cause I know you did the Lightning Thief too. And I know you were really persistent on getting the book rights and all that and like making that happen.
Hard.
So did you have to?
That was TheaterWorks. TheaterWorks helped with all of that in terms of the underlying rights. This woman named Barbara Pasternak, the artistic director, fought forever to get those rights. For this, no, most all of this is all public domain, but it was fun, though. Speaking of Lightning Thief, you know, we had, like, Medusa as kind of a joke character in the show, and for Monster Songs, like, we have a legit, serious, kind of Adele-type song that is about, it's from Medusa's point of view, and it is sung, oh my God, Katrina Rose Deirdre sings, she's on The Voice right now, on NBC, I think is The Voice, and she's insane, she's amazing, but it's a very, like, heartfelt take on someone who is, can't love themselves, you know, and so it's fun to take, like, a character that is, we treat silly in one thing, and then, like, subvert that and take it very seriously. No, it's all just archetypes of monsters, so no.
That's really cool. So how does it work with the public domain? Like, you could pretty much use the likeness of all of that and like write songs that are your own that will accompany that. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I stayed away from monsters like, you know, Freddy Krueger or Jason or things like that. I was more interested in other more older archetypes of monsters, like the ghost or, you know, someone who feels like she isn't being seen for who she is. You know, you see at the very end, and I don't want to spoil too much, but in the graphic novel, you'll see at the very end that all the monsters are basically people that feel that they've been manipulated in some way. Like, it's a woman looking at a painting of herself, but all she sees is Medusa. It's a homeless man who lives under a bridge that feels like he's the troll under the bridge. It's a little janitor at a place that is getting overlooked by where he's working, and that feels like Igor, the henchman. So it's those kind of archetypes of real people feeling like they're monsters, that kind of thing.
That's really cool. I'm looking at the website now. Monster.
I'll send you the PDF, man. You got to check it out.
It's really cool. I totally want to check it out. So you can get it at BroadwayRecords.com, and then you can also get it at MonsterSongs.net. Correct?
You got it.
Love it. That's really cool.
The show is October 30th at the Cutting Room in New York City. Right. Rob, I got to ask you. I know I was hard pitching you here, but did you get someone to take photos and video of it yet, or no?
Every time. Every time.
You guys are the best. No, truly, Mike Bradley is the best at this. He's wonderful. I believe I do have the wonderful Robbie Rozelle, who is the guy that designed the packaging for Broadway Records. He also is a videographer and is able to help out. So I think he's going to do it for that.
All right.
But you know that you're my number one, man.
Hey, man, when you hit it big, you call me, bro. Cause listen, I was there from the start. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Hilarious.
I just want to be Rob's date to the Tonys.
I know you do, buddy. I know you do.
Someday, he doesn't take his wife. He takes me.
I'm sure you guys can fight it out.
That's hilarious.
How you good out there? You're in Colorado, or you in Brooklyn, or where are you? You're bi-coastal right now, right? Or you're
who, me? No, I haven't been to New York in months, man. It's been a while, so I'm still out in Colorado. And are you coming out for Christmas or anything? Are we gonna come out and hang?
I'm coming out for Thanksgiving.
All right, well, let's hang, dude. Let's come out. Let's
make it happen.
So Rob, this is a funny story, real quick. So Rob was like, "Hey Mike, I need a favor. It's my parents' birthday or their anniversary or something. Was it Christmas? I think it was Christmas, right?
It was Christmas. I think.
So it was Christmas last year, and Rob's like, "Mike, I need you to do me a favor. Can you go to this restaurant? It's my parents' favorite restaurant, and get this gift certificate for you. You know, I'll pay you the money for the gift certificate and a little extra." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, of course." You know. So I go get this gift certificate, and he gives me his parents' address. And I'm like knocking on the door, and
this guy comes up to the door.
And he's like, "Who is it?" And I was like, "It's Mike Bradley. I'm Rob's friend." And he's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "I've got something for you." And he's like, "What?" And I was like, "It's from Rob." Oh God, it was so awkward. Like, your parents did not want to open the door, but I was like,
"My
this
parents
is from Rob."
Are very awkward, Mike. They're very awkward. You were a very kind friend to do that. I was like, just drop it in their mailbox.
There's nothing more embarrassing than embarrassing to you.
That's
parents.
Why I love Mike Bradley. It's a personal touch. That's
he does have a personal touch. He does give that sense where it's like, I just had a weird interaction with a very nice boy, you know? And it's always weird. It's always weird with him. There's always something that's like, what is going on here? What is this real life? What's happening?
Why are you here? Keep your underwear on.
Keep your underwear on. It's so true. So Monster Broadway,
Monster Songs,
MonsterSongs.net, and then also Broadway Records.com. I found footprints from Monster Songs. Do you mind if we can we give it a play?
Yeah, play it. I think it should be on YouTube. You can play it. Play whatever you want.
I did. I found it. So yeah, when we're done with this, we'll play a little of Monster Songs, which
amazing. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.
You're always welcome, Rob.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. You're one of our most talented friends.
We don't have many, but you should be proud of it.
You're the best. Well, you're very talented yourself, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, Rob. It was good talking to you. We're going to dip out for a second, and we're going to play Footprints off of Monster Songs. You can go to monstersongs.net or broadwayrecords.com to get the album. And then I think on Broadway Records, you can get the art too, right?
Yep.
The deluxe edition. Rob goes, he's got to give us a little sort of a precursor. Give us a
give us a little precursor because they're not going to see the video. Oh. They're only going to see.
So Footprints is the only co-written song on this album. Every other one I wrote all the music and lyrics to. This one is written by one of my best friends, alum. He's a wonderful writer named Joe Iconis, and he plays the Sasquatch and I play the Yeti, and we are two friends that should have met up years ago, and it's about this song is about friendship, about a Yeti and a Sasquatch.
It's beautiful. Don't we know Joe? I feel like we've
you might have had him on. I don't know. He's a wonderful writer. He's written a lot of great stuff.
The name sounds familiar. I feel like we have had him on. Giggles, is this true? You know,
no,
more
he,
than I
he
do.
Hasn't been on, but we should on. If Rob's free next Sunday, if they want to come on with him and Dave or him and Joe or whatever, you guys,
that'd be cool
on.
You should totally come into the studio, Rob.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, I like it.
Sweet.
We could do some live stuff. Bring your guitar and we could do some live songs. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, just send me an email. Let's make it happen.
I love it. All
there
right.
It is.
So sweet. Footprints, Monster Songs, Rob Rokicki, killing it every day.
Rokicki. Yeah. You always say it wrong.
Shit. I played the wrong song. All right, hold on.
All right, bye, guys.
Later, buddy.
See you, Rob.
All right, bye, guys.
I'm going to pause this for a second because I fucked it up. I totally fucked this up.
Is it an ad?
No. I have another song playing in the background.
What are you doing?
Hold on.
What are you doing?
Hold on. Everything's fucked, man. God damn it. There it is. All right. For some reason, my music started playing at the same time. It was a goddamn disaster.
God, we got to hang.
We do gotta hang. Now I can't find the goddamn thing. All right, where is it? No, that's not it. Hold on. Here, I found it. All right. Let's give this a go again. So, sorry, Rob. We're going to play this one more time. Footprints by Monster Songs.
On the day that I was born, left me on a mountain, a mother's fear, a father's scorn. I couldn't hide my hairy hands, my odd protruding horn. Just another monster, forgotten and forlorn. Tundra, life is hard where nothing grows. Scavenging and shunned from me, draw tears, eyes, nose. My words disappear, my songs decompose. And you came along, and everything unfroze.
Snow. warmth you have when you're the scourge of another redneck town. Why bother to
Rob Rokicki and Joe Wyconis co-wrote that song. If you're interested in seeing their show, Monster Songs, at The Cutting Room, New York City, October 30th, probably 7:30, probably 8 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, it was
there. You know what? I tell you what, that guy's going to be famous, man.
He's going to bring us up with him.
Fair share of getting Rokicki'd. It's actually a verb. We call it Rokicki'd. You get screwed over, it's called getting Rokicki'd.
Poor guy.
And,
he did. There's really funny. So I got during that song, I got a like from our Twitter from Rob liking a tweet that we did in July saying that we were giving away something on Dave and Giggles at 7 p.m. I don't ever remember giving anything away. And
we got to be better about that. I think that's kind of why we got, because we would promise signed albums and stuff for the first caller. And we never sent them out.
Well, that was based solely. You said you were going to do that, and then it never happened.
I know.
I mean, we could do it more. I mean, if maybe we'll talk to Rob when he comes in, and we'll get an album, like a printed album, and then we can give that away. That would be very nice, because that music does sound like it would be a lot of fun to hear live.
It's a good show. I took photos of it a couple years ago. Actually, not a couple years ago. Oh my God, like 5 years ago.
You're old, man.
Four years ago. When I was still living in New York City.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I had a Facebook memory come up of your backyard the other day. And I was like, that was a good backyard. We had some good barbecues back there. We did a lot of, for some reason, we burned a lot of Duraflames back there. I don't know why anybody ever let you burn wood in the back in a back of a house in Queens. We made so much smoke.
I know, a ton of smoke.
Ton of smoke.
Ton of smoke. That was a good backyard. That was a good apartment. I tell you what, if I had a driveway and a third bedroom, we probably still would have lived in New York. Probably still be there.
Probably until you had the second kid.
No.
Probably until the second kid. Leo would have stayed there. You guys would have stayed with Leo for a while, but then the next kid came around, you would have been like, all right, we're out.
We're out, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. Kids in New York, I don't know what it is, but whenever I see somebody with like a kid on the subway and like the kid's passed out, and you know that mom's been like working her ass off all day, and then she picked up the kid from the friend, and then the kid's sleeping on her on the subway, I'm like, shit, it's tough.
Did I tell you?
It's tough having kids.
I know. It is. Did I tell you?
It's tough having kids anywhere, but New York City, I think it's just an extra sort of kick in the ass.
It is. It's tough having kids anywhere. Did I tell you? I don't know if I said it on the air last week or not. The when I should have gotten a standing ovation on the subway?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, you feel that you should have gotten
I felt that I should have gotten a standing ovation on the subway. I wish I had my my thing there. I would play the sound thing. I can see if I can get it.
Dude of the day. Don't look for it. You're not gonna.
Find not gonna find it. I'm gonna make things happen though. So I'm on the subway, and I'm getting on. Well, I mean, also, so you know that the M is closed down, and I have to take the goddamn L train, and that sucks, right? It just sucks.
You gotta walk all the way. You walk in the Halsey or to Myrtle Wyckoff?
Yeah, I mean, I take the M goes to Myrtle Wyckoff, and then I could take the L from there. But it just pretty much sucks all around.
Yeah.
But here, I think I found it. Let me see if I can find it. And it is, we could play this one.
The best thing to do is to throw him the fastball.
Nobody knows what you were talking about with that. Oh man. Oh, here I found it. Okay, here it is. Playing this one
for one thing only.
I'll just kill that. I don't know why that's going. All right, ready?
Dave's Subway Adventures.
It's old school.
This is good.
That was good, right? Remember I made all those little things?
Anytime you ever play like an old school sounder,
it makes you feel good. Just snapping your fingers.
Back.
Yeah. All right, this is about the time that I felt like I should have got a standing ovation on the subway. So I'm riding the L, and it's relatively packed. Not crazily packed, but relatively packed. And I'm sitting down. And this lady sitting next to me is a mom that's had enough. We've all seen these moms, like, I can't anymore. And this kid is screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming up a storm to the point where everyone on the subway is, like, tilting their head just a little bit going, oh, my God, I cannot take this kid.
Do something about your kid.
Right. Yeah. I must have had, like, 8 to 10 stops with this kid. Within 2 to 3 stops, I turned this kid around, and she was laughing up a storm. For the rest of the way, she was laughing, having a good time. We were making faces. Things were happening, and I turned this kid around from screeching, crying to laughing. And, like, I got up to get off, and she was still in a good mood, and not anybody recognized the fact that I did this.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. But I felt like I deserved a standing ovation. The mom didn't even care. Nobody cared.
No.
But I knew that everyone was happier for not having this kid screaming up a storm.
Right. You should have bowed as you were like leaving.
I should have bowed.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. It's funny. Anytime you think that you're going to get sort of applause or sort of recognition for something, you're not going to get it.
You're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. There was this another time. I've had a lot of subway adventures. Let's see, I'll play the song for you again. Maybe I'll just play it one more time. There it is.
Dave's Subway Adventures.
Another time I felt like I should have got a standing ovation on the subway. This one isn't a standing ovation. This one should have been acknowledgement. And there was a little acknowledgement from the mom. But there was this kid in a car or a stroller. And I look down at her, and she's going to town eating a Handy Wipe. She's just eating one of those, like, chlorine, like, whatever hand wipes that the babies have, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's eating it. Like, she's literally, like, taking pieces off and, either swallowing it or spitting it at other people. And I was just staring at her, and I looked at the mom, and she was, like, on her phone. She didn't give a shit.
Right.
And I looked down at the kid, and I was like, don't eat that. Just don't eat that.
Yeah.
And then she, like, looks up at me, and she hands me the wet nap.
Oh, God.
And I was like, should I take it? And I looked over, and there was, like, a couple other people going, you should take that away from her. So I took it, and I didn't know what to do with it at that point. And then I was just kind of, I just stared at the mom until she acknowledged me. And then she finally looked at me, and she looked at my hand, and she goes, I'll take it. And she took it out of my hand, and she just, like, shoved it in her pocket and then went back to her phone. But I was glad that I got it away from the kid. The kid should not have been eating a hand wipe. It was just so gross. There was something so gross about it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel it's better. I don't even touch other people's kids. You know, like, there's one kid at the playground today that was like, can you put me in, you know, can you bring me up in the swing? And I was like, no. No, you ask your mom. I'm not touching you.
I mean, I completely agree with you. I don't think you should touch a kid ever. There's really no reason to touch a kid that you don't know. But, like, if a kid's crying, I'm going to 100% try to make that kid laugh, because I can't take that kid crying.
Yeah.
Or if a kid's eating a hand wipe.
Like I said, we were at Costco today, and there's a kid, you know, in front of us in the checkout aisle, and he was looking at me, and so I started making funny faces at him, you know, but nothing happened.
Nothing happened. You didn't feel like you needed the standing ovation like I did.
No, it was cute, though, because I think they were a couple of adopted kids. Either they were adopted or they were just neighbor kids. But I think they were adopted because they were definitely from another country. And the one older kid who was, I think, obviously adopted, like, went to hug the younger brother that looked like he was part of the original family.
Yeah.
You know, like, part of the, I don't want to say natural born, but, like, he looked like he was, you know, one of their regular kids.
And he hugged
him, and I was like, oh, that's sweet. Oh, this is a good story.
Because that was not a good story.
That was not a good story. So the other day I went to the liquor store, and the wife wanted some cider. You know, she's on the cider kick. You know,
okay.
She's wanting cider.
Spiked cider or just regular cider?
Like cider, like apple, like liquor.
Liquor cider, adult cider. Yeah, adult cider. Okay, go on.
Yeah. So next to the liquor store is this veterinarian.
Okay, and that's so completely different.
I was meeting the wife there at the liquor store because I was like, hey, you watch the kids. I'll run and get your cider. You know, she's in another car. And so I pulled up and I'm in front of this veterinarian's office. And I look in there and I was like, oh, that's nice. I see this guy, like, hugging, you know, like, one of the veterinarians. It's like, oh, that's kind of nice. Like, a nice moment, like, hugging, you know, like, oh, this is great. What a great place. These guys are hugging. And then I saw other family members come up and start hugging the guy.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. They, like, just put, like, one of the animals, like a dog, probably.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, something that this dude loved.
After hours.
Yeah.
And everybody's hugging and crying. And I was like, oh, shit. You know, here what I thought was, like, a nice family moment, you know, in this vet's office.
You are the forever optimist. You always think the best things, but really you have to think the worst and be like, they're hugging because their family pet just died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's rough.
And everybody was there. You know, they all took different cars and everybody was there. And I was like, oh, but then I get it. Like, that's, you know, that's why they do those sort of, they put the animals to sleep afterwards, after hours, because they don't want, like, somebody bringing, you know, Fido in for a checkup, you know, and everything's all well. And then somebody's crying because they just put an animal to sleep in the back.
You know, and you got poor Timmy sitting here
after hours.
Yeah. Then you got poor Timmy sitting here going, is my cat going to be all right? Everybody else is crying. Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we took a couple years ago, we took Noah, who's an old cat. You know, known.
Yeah.
You know, Noah. We took Noah to the vet. And I might have even told you this, but, like, I took him to this vet because it was close by it. And I walk in there and there's, like, a fireplace and like a nice, you know, some nice couches. Like, oh,
first
shit,
off,
this is like,
first
this is
off,
gonna be
anybody familiar with mine and your Facebook knows Noah because you tagged him in every picture as me for many, many years.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago. And then my father-in-law deleted me as a Facebook friend because he's like, oh, yeah, you
did the cat thing.
You posted too many pictures of the cat.
True. That's true. All right, so go on.
we took Noah to the vet and I took him there because the wife was working. And I walked in. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be expensive because it was like it was a nice. It looked like a freaking resort. You know, it had like a fireplace, the chairs. Sure. I take him in there. And this vet like puts the stethoscope up to his heart for like a second. And he's like, oh, yeah, he's got a heart murmur and his teeth are bad. I think we're going to need a echocardiogram for this. And I was like, whoa. Jesus. I was like, hold on. Whoa. So I called Julie, you know, and she's like, Mike, the cat's like 14 years old.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to, you know, get an echocardiogram for this damn thing. And like, what am I going to do? Put him on heart meds, you know? So... Needless to say, Noah hasn't like been to the vet for a few years.
Noah's still going though, right? Noah's
still kicking. Yeah, he's still going. He's starting to get a little skinnier, and I don't know if it's because Jerry's eating all his food.
Cat. Jerry's such a jerk.
Yeah.
But I mean, but like,
Jerry, what Jerry if he follows me? This is our new cat.
Yeah.
Follows me to the neighborhood bar and then walks me back.
That's really weird.
Which is Does he come in?
Does he come into the bar? Can you lure him in,
hangs out, and you know,
put a little beer in his dish. That's what you should do. Just see if he'll drink it up.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty good. He's probably underage. He's a little thing, right? He's young.
Yeah, he's like two.
Yeah, he's young. What was I gonna say?
Cat talk.
Just a bunch of cat talk. I'll go back to the Costco thing. When I was a young teenager, you know, like when you get brought to Costco. When you're younger and you're just like, this is the most boring thing in the world. Yeah. I mean, once you finish eating all the freebies that they have there, you're pretty much bored after that.
Right.
So there was this one time. What's happening, buddy? There's one time we were there and it was me and John again. We were probably like 13 and we're like walking around Costco and we're like, what kind of trouble can we get into? And like, we just thought, quickly decided to like play catch with something. We found something to play catch with and like that kind of got bored. And then we found something bigger to play catch with. And then we kind of got bored of that. And then eventually worked our way into like the women's area and found a giant box of like tampons. And we're like, let's for some reason play catch with this. Because that's what kids do. They're intrigued by stupid shit and they want to have play catch with it. So we end up throwing this thing like across aisles. All the way across aisles. And once the one time I threw it as hard as I could and it went over his head and it went crashing down in the ground and burst open and tampons just started flying everywhere. And you know, like there's that like kind of powder and like John went to go pick it up and his hands just became full of powder. And he's like, I don't understand these tampons. And we just bolted. That was my fondest memory. Of said Costco.
I'd like to see a picture with John with hair.
I'll send you a picture of John with hair. I'll send it to you right now. There's actually, since our reunion, Andy put together like a before and after of when we started knowing each other till where we are now. And it looks pretty crazy. Like I look crazy then and I look crazy now.
So I got to ask you this. Have you already gotten your wedding invitation for Andy's wedding? Did they send out the invites yet?
Yes.
They did.
Well, I have not. I have not gotten to save the date. I haven't gotten anything.
All right.
So you're still got a chance. should I tell you don't have a chance, or should I keep you like in the lurch to think you may have a chance?
Let me know. Like if you get one, you know. But something tells me this wedding is going to cost a lot of money to go to.
Oh my God, it's going to cost an arm and a leg. It's going to be ridiculous.
I'm like, why are you getting married in Mexico? I mean, it's probably not his call.
There's some degree. You know him and you know his like thing of being like, I'm going to have a destination wedding and I'm going to make this destination wedding be at like a 4-star resort in Mexico.
Yeah.
And like that's and it's going to be all about love and like swimming and like being the shirtless beach. as much as possible. And that's what it is. And like to be at this resort is like resort money. And it's a wedding, so it's going to be wedding resort money. It's like way too much
money. It's going to be at least a $3,000 thing to go to his wedding.
That's what I'm looking at.
That's a lot to ask from somebody. I think this, I'm in the wedding industry myself. There's this new trend of destination bachelor and bachelorette parties, which I don't get. I'm like, why are you flying to Vegas or flying to Miami or doing all these like because you got to outdo everybody, you know? And it's like, oh, let's go to here. And I was like, don't make your friends pay money to go to a, like, you can have the same experience in your town. I mean, unless you live in some podunk town.
Sure.
But you can have a bachelorette. I mean, kind we went of. To, what was it called? Scandals?
Yeah. We did go to Scandals, which was like, Scandals. I don't even know if that's there anymore. Seedy shit.
It's not there anymore?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been over there. That's not like someplace I go to. But yeah, that was like really, really shady.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
Really, that was so seedy as shit.
But you know what? It was perfect because it was like, we ended the night with Scandals, which was this like, I can't even describe it, but it's just the seediest sort of strip club you could ever imagine.
It was awful.
And then I remember you, me, and Hollings and Emily eating a rotisserie chicken in Emily's living room.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was really terrible. Yeah, but I remember, I mean, if you want to get into Scandals, I kind of remember a lot of weird shit happening at Scandals. Like, you were trashed off your ass, which appropriately so. It was your bachelor party. And I remember like being in this bachelor or the strip club with you, trashed off your ass, and you were just taking a cup and just yelling at girls and like pointing it at their asses and being like, yeah, just being trashed off. It was a great time. It was a great time.
It was a good time. Yeah, it was good.
Can I ask sorry, this is Barry Champlain.
We know Barry.
Quick question. I have heard, I don't think I've actually seen this in real life, but I've heard that sometimes when you're at a strip club or a bachelor party and they know that you're the bachelor, they really beat you up, like, seriously beat you up. Did you get any of that?
It's not my story to tell. I mean, it wasn't at his bachelor party. That didn't happen. That didn't happen there. It's not my story to tell, and I won't let too much on, but there was a bachelor party I went to once where we were in like the middle of the Catskills or like Delaware River Gap, and there was like nobody around there. And like one of my boys managed to like ask a bartender at a bar if there were anybody, like a stripper around. And he was like, oh, my ex-girlfriend will do it. And like, it turned into the weirdest night. But I know at the end of the night, there were certain people who had bruises on their body.
So again, I appreciate your
candor.
I appreciate that you're keeping your friends confident.
Sure. I got to do that.
I'm going to ask a couple questions. And if you're like, I can't say that, that's fine. But just out of curiosity. So the setup was... this bartender was like, my girlfriend will do kind of a private bachelor party show for you guys.
At a hotel, yes.
Oh, man.
Ex-girlfriend.
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 Who had kids.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's unusual.
There's nothing. Yeah, there was it was just something like so weird about it. And like, he was like, yeah, I'll get her to do it. And like, you know, she just came over to the hotel and was like, all right, I'll do this. Give me some money.
Do you remember how much it was?
It must have been a couple hundred. I don't remember exactly. Like, the guy who I was with was like kind of getting everything all organized, and like he'd be like, "Here, give me this money. You give me money. You give me this money."
He wanted this to happen.
He really wanted this to happen. Yeah. But I remember also like one of our friends decided that it would have been, because like we were trying to make it like a funny like surprise, as it were, and he dressed the stripper up in his clothes to make it look like it was him. When he came into there, it's just him. Oh, no, wait, it's a girl. And it just got weirder and weirder and weirder. Here's the thing.
I don't know if funny. I feel like that's somebody that's got a fetish that's working it out in a way that's like,
he does.
Oh, wouldn't it be funny if we did? It'd be hilarious.
He definitely does. Yeah. Like, if you knew this guy, you would understand where that's coming from.
Yeah, definitely.
That is a great story. I could probably tell you more off air.
Yeah,
but,
I understand. Tell me about this. I heard you saying destination wedding, destination bachelor party. Mm. I have also heard a lot about this. And to me, destination wedding... weddings in general, a lot of times are expensive just for you to go. Like, for example, I've got to go to a wedding next month and it's a black tie wedding.
Ooh.
I do not own a tux, right?
No, so you got to rent one.
I've got to rent one, which is a couple $100.
Is it in New York?
It's on Long Island. No, I'm sorry. It's on Jersey. The people live on Long Island, but it's the wedding's in Jersey.
Okay. So it's not that hard to get to.
It's not even the destination thing, but I'm just saying a wedding in general, sometimes there's some outlay. Like if you're married, a lot of times you got to get a babysitter, you know, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, I think it is insane and really narcissistic to expect that, my wedding, this thing that people do literally every day. Yeah. Mine is so special that I'm asking all my friends to spend like thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that's Andy.
And we'll be doing
is probably one of the most narcissistic people you'll ever meet.
Right.
He would dress a stripper up like himself.
And then knowing the divorce rate on top of that, that this thing that you're going to, it's like, it's probably got about a 50-50 shot of, you know, going to
business. Yeah, of course. I mean, don't all weddings, marriages have 50-50 shot, totally.
So it's crazy to
me. I'm kind of the best man, and I don't know if he's listening. But like I have to be there.
Yeah.
It's in Mexico. It's a total to do. It's going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And all you get on the other side of this, and if you're listening, Andy, I apologize. But all you get on the opposite side is this is a vacation for you.
But it's not even because you're going to have to do all. It's all everything's structured, and you're going to have to. If you're like a best man, you're going to have to. You know,
oh God, he's going to get killed.
Do rehearsals and
He's gonna get killed.
Barry, I got one quick little tip for you.
Please.
Don't rent the tux. Buy it.
Really?
Tux. Look on Craigslist. You can buy a tux for the same price that you're gonna spend to rent it.
I can get a decent tux.
If you rent it, it's not gonna fit you well. You know, like find a place where you can buy a tux. Honestly, like
it's a rip off.
I could probably send you send me your measurements. I have tux pants and a tux jacket. I'll mail to you, bro.
I'm a big boy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You're a slight man. You're a slight man. But it's a good thing to look into.
Yeah,
Where should you do this? On like Craigslist? Is that what we should do?
Look on Craigslist, and then there's also, I don't even know if they're still in town, but there's this place called OK Uniform. When I used to cater, we'd go down there. It's this big Hasidic shop down Canal Street, and you could buy a tux for like $150, $200.
Which is probably what you're renting it for.
Yeah, you
get to have a tux.
Yeah,
and then you could.
That's true. You should come in here and do the show in a tux.
In a tux.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's very hot down here.
It is. The thing is full too, so I can't turn the AC on.
I don't know
on.
If you saw the Facebook.
I did.
Yeah, I don't think it's full. It's broken.
Somebody tipped it. It's like a what do they call it? Like oh crap! I had it for a second, then lost it. Like an old school.
The sensor's probably. Off
yeah. What's the thing where with the paddles when you were a kid you'd play it.
Pinball.
Yes. It's like a pinball. If you tilt it, you game over. You know, that's kind of what it is with that.
I guess if Tom is listening, if you want to come reset it,
Tom, it's full.
It's full.
I gotta run though. I gotta run.
Yeah, I don't know what to do tonight.
Yeah, I don't know how to empty it out either. I act like I do. We're moving too, right?
I don't know. You gotta go to that meeting.
I gotta go to that meeting too.
Meeting.
Yeah.
I gotta go to that meeting.
I know. I missed the last one, but well, we are Dave and Giggles. Barry's up next.
Yep.
What do you got on store, buddy?
We're going to have this is my first show or my last show before Halloween. So we're going to kind of have a little bit of a Halloween-ish theme.
I like it.
Yeah.
Very nice. What's the best Halloween song?
Oh, God. Monster Mash, probably.
Monster Mash is really good.
Yeah.
Monster Mash. I mean, Thriller, though.
There's this great one that you should look up. I think it's called Rosemary's Baby.
Ooh, that sounds
good. It's actually not. If you listen to lyrics, it's not a horror song, but it kind of sounds like one. Yeah. It's like a weird funk soul thing. Look up; it's hard to find, but look it up on YouTube.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of really good ones.
Maybe Monster Songs. Yeah. October 30th, Cutting Room. Rob Rokicki, music and lyrics, and artwork by Dave O'Neill. And then one of the songs, Footsteps, by co-written by Joe Iconis. And Rob Rokicki himself.
We had Rob Rokicki on, who wrote a whole album.
Wait,
on a Monster Song.
Is he the guy that did the
Lightning Thief?
Yes. He called into our show. Accidentally.
Oh, really?
Was he trying to call into your show?
Probably.
Yeah. He's a real nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah,
and he does really good. He writes really great music and all that.
He called in and just had a 20 minute conversation with us.
That's amazing.
Yeah, super nice guy.
That's awesome. Oh, well, I'm glad Dave and Giggles is spreading out.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, we're out. Good work. We'll talk to you next time.